revamping my office to make it look really cool when I do YouTube videos. But what we're going to do today is the market update like we usually do. And I need your participation. So please ask any questions that you have. That's what the whole channel is about. So you guys can find answers to the things that you're kind of don't know about. And if you have something that stumps me, I promise you the next day I'll get back on this video or send you a complete video or do maybe even a YouTube post to explain things that are going on. So we're seeing in the markets is right now. But here's my rant of the day. I'm going to start giving you a rant of the day. The things that kind of tick me off is, remember last year, the year before, all the channels, CNBC, all the investors and everything, they had the tizzy about Reddit was pumping and dumping a lot of stocks. And they're like, well, this is crazy. This platform that millennials are running, it's causing the, you know, some stocks to move higher than others and so forth. Well, isn't that what CNBC and all these channels do every day? They have people on their channel, you know, like today, I think Yahoo Finance had Kellogg's CEO. Yesterday, CNBC had Charles Schwab's CEO on there. And they talk and they tell you how great their companies are and so forth. So they're wanting you to buy the stock. So aren't they really, in essence, trying to pump the stock like Reddit did years ago? So that's my rant of the day. So what I want to do on this channel is inform you guys, you know, if you missed out on maybe the Bitcoin run over a few years ago, what did you really miss out on? Because if you didn't get in a certain time and get out at a certain time, you lost and things like that. So I want to answer any questions that you guys have. Yes, I'm a mortgage advisor, but I just want to show our transparency here to say, you know, guys, I know a lot about the markets in general. So use my knowledge for that. And then in the mornings and then some other live events that I do talk about mortgages. So if you have any questions, please let me know. But here's what's going on in the markets right now as we're speaking. You're going to see the Dow Jones actually in the markets are actually doing pretty good. We have the S&P, which is up. Let me put my glasses on because I'm an old fella. The S&P is up 1% at 70 points. Dow Jones is up 1.17%, up almost 400 points. Where were we the other day? So the market is completely a roller coaster. Here's what you're starting to see, and I'm going to dissect this a little bit more. But how do the wealthy really get wealthy? And if you really dig in it, and there was a documentary that I recently watched in regards to the Great Depression, and it was kind of interesting, and it was never really proven to, you know, specific facts, but a lot of the wealthy people created that that event and loaded up, and that's how many of these families got, you know, completely independently wealthy and wealthier over time. So unfortunately, a lot of the markets are still manipulated by the big end players, and I think this banking thing is actually feeding into that. So here's what I mean is the banking system really in that bad a position? So you and I wouldn't have known this if Silicon Valley Bank went out of business. Okay. Because what happened was, you know, in between the bond markets and everything else, all these banks have to be basically in the same situation almost. The huge, huge banks, no, they have a much more clout than the other ones. But then you have investment firms, like I said yesterday, Charles Schwab, who actually got their stock got flushed down with the toilet with the rest of the banking stocks, and it shouldn't have. So let's go over the headlines, and you guys ask any questions if you want. I'm just going to go one by one on yahoofinance.com. If there's other websites you guys would prefer me to use for educational purposes, let me know down below. But I'm not a stock advisor. I'm not an agent of this. I don't give recommendations. Don't trade off in my advice. I'm just giving you my opinion, and this is all educational. So that's my legal disclosure so I can get out of trouble. So you're seeing the markets doing really well right now. Let's see what the bond market is doing. The bond market's taking it on the chin a little bit, but these markets have been so far up in the last few days. I sent out a request on all my social media the other day, and we're working on this in the background. Kyle and myself he's asking me why my lamp's off. It's over in the corner. But we're working on a platform to educate those out there, realtors, maybe even consumers, or we have a lot of mortgage people that watch our channel. So we're trying to create a channel like Barry Habib and those that give you, you know, this data, but much, much, much cheaper. A lot of those platforms are $100 to $200, maybe $300 a month. Ours is going to be a fraction of that. So what we're looking at right now on the charts is all the yields on here, as you can see, the mortgage-backed security yield or price is down 0.1. That's really not that bad because we had huge gains in the last couple of days. And here's what's weird with this. So when you're paying attention to this, if you subscribe to this channel, if you're a mortgage advisor or you watch me every morning, you got to watch because the 10-year treasury, when it shows up in this corner here, it actually gives you the yield. And then you look over here and the number is completely different. Well, this gives you the price. So why does one give you the price and one give you the yield? I don't know. I don't make up this system, but that's basically where we're at right now. So you're seeing right here, look at this chart right down through here. Now this, let's just go to basically a 5-day chart, and this will be kind of, let's go to a 2-day chart. Look at this. As this number goes down, rates get better. This is a bigger drop than you think. It went from, what's the high through here? 101.59. It's got to be higher than that. 101.92. We got all the way down to 101.4. That's a 0.5%. Okay, so that's 50 basis points. It's even more than that. So mortgage rates actually come down quite a bit over the last few days. And then in the last, I think yesterday morning, I requested out on all my social media. If you're in the brokerage field, you're a mortgage advisor, mortgage broker, real estate broker, I said, guys, lock, because I think we had our dip in the markets, and I pegged that one because I knew there was going to be a lot of profit taking, because people, they kind of got in and out of these markets and made a lot of money in a short term. If you go back to let's go back to Yahoo Finance, for example, let's go through here and let's just look at the biggest captions here. Here we got, let's see if you are Aussie. Merrill Lynch. Do you work at Merrill Lynch? Are you asking me about Merrill Lynch? It's there like Schwab. And I think this is your question. Let's look into it. Merrill Lynch, MERRILL. And let's see if it comes up automatically. Let's see what they're doing today. And let's see if we can find the tickers and everything else of that. Let's see stock price. And then I'll give you my take on this to go through that. So here's where we're at. It's probably like crazy volatile. I don't want to see the price, the bid, the ask, where it's been. Let's go through the 52-week high and low range, 57 and 53. Not huge volatility there. Let's go back to what I wouldn't be concerned about Merrill Lynch. I wouldn't be concerned about Charles Schwab. I wouldn't be concerned about the large investment companies like we did back in 2010. The difference between 2010 and now is there was a lot of bad mortgages on the books. Okay. What you're having right now is basically a bond market deterioration in price. Okay. So when the Federal Reserve comes in and they keep raising rates, okay, what that's doing is pushing down the price of the bonds. So the banks are sitting here with this bond, and I feel like I'm repeating myself every day, but you guys need to know this stuff. As the Fed keeps rising interest rates, that means the Treasury bills are dropping in value. So banks and people, you and me, you might have it in your 401k. We have it in our investments. And you know, when you're going through it, you're thinking, you know, is this good or bad or whatever? Well, how we do it, if you look in your portfolio, you're going to see day by day by day what the values are doing for you, unless you're just looking at the yield check, collecting those coupons. So that's basically what's going on right now. So the investment firms like Schwab and Merrill Lynch and those four, I wouldn't have any concerns at all. None at all. Some of them, like I said, like Schwab got flushed with the bathwater, the dirty bathwater of the other banks. But you're going to see a lot of these companies come back and come back strong. And a lot of them got hammered. You know, if a stock went down 40% the other day, let's go back, like I said, to Yahoo Finance. So let's scroll down here and let's look at some of the top winners of the day. So we go through here and we got Bitcoin. Somebody asked yesterday about Bitcoin, if I would do a chart of the difference between Bitcoin and gold. I did that in this morning's video. Once this video airs, it's a live version, but once it airs and I edit it, I'll put up on the screen or a little tweak up there where you can check out that video from this morning, because I spoke about, you know, or I showed you the spread between gold and Bitcoin. It's crazy how gold has just held its value and Bitcoin went up like 50 bazillion percent and then crushed and so forth. So my analogy with that is, you know, if you were going to go, instead of going to Vegas to gamble your money and you want to gamble it and stay home, you might want to look at, you know, putting a position on in Bitcoin, but don't, you know, if you lose it, don't sit there and cry. Use it with, for your Vegas money, I guess is what I'm saying. I'm not telling you to do it, but that's what kind of I did. I put enough in there, say, okay, if I gained, I'm good. If I didn't gain, you know, so be it. Then we go down through here. Let's go to the side of this equation. And guys, if you would please keep adding some questions in there so we can check that out. Lennar Corporation. I'm going to show you something here in a second that's really going to tick you off about oil and how I think we've been just completely getting hosed. In the cryptocurrency markets, we have Bitcoin. It's up 2.5%. This was, remember where this was just the other day? I think it was like 16,000. Let's get out of this chart system. Let's go back and say, here's the crazy thing on Bitcoin. Look at this. You know, if you bought down here, let's just go max. This is probably going to be nuts. If you're down in here, you bought, what's the price? $999. Okay. Back in this time, it went to 63,000 from 1,000. Think of the return on that thing. And then you're down here. So I purchased kind of through this time frame here and up through here. So when it blends out, I did okay. I got out of my positions almost completely, but it is completely volatile. I don't understand how they say this is a hedge against inflation, because I don't really look at it that way. So let's go back to the rest of the markets to see what's going on. Right through here, we have Bitcoin, Ethereum, and a lot of the cryptocurrencies. If you don't know those, appointment on that, or do a video on that, just to explain to you guys what that really is. Hold on, we got some volume here from Yahoo Live. So Bitcoin is a lot of ways that people pay via, you know, using a lot of the web systems. It's basically a payment center. Ethereum is the platform. Think of Ethereum as like the internet, and Bitcoin is the way to pay for your transactions on the internet. So I did purchase Ethereum because I like the blockchain, and I like a lot of things that it pertains to that. So let's go over. We're still continuing to the side here. These are the trending tickers. We got First Republic Bank. They're in the news right now. They just got a flush of money in from several big banks, and I'm going to have a little tizzy on that here in a second as well. But look at that. That's a bank that's basically was in default yesterday, and now is up 11%. Intel, a lot of the chip stocks are doing well as Amazon. Most active stocks, Credit Suisse, as you know, is the other bank in the radars right now, going out of business. First Republic, those two banks. First Republic, like I said, is up $11. And then we go Bank of America. It is up a buck or 1% to $28. And then gainers and so forth. Earlier when I was looking through this, basically this whole section of gainers was all banks. And they were up 10, 15, 20% or so. Look at First Republic right here. Percentage change. 45% in stock gaining. And so these are the things that I think, I won't say it, but I think a lot of people are pushing this agenda. So you guys have the fear in all the banking systems. So then they can come in and swipe in and actually buy up the markets, kind of like what happened during the Great Depression. So let's go through some of the headlines that we see. Stocks soar after First Republic gets 30 billion injections. What's going to happen is you're going to have a lot of these bigger banks that we really don't want, because it's becoming more and more of a monopoly. We're having more and more of these bigger banks funding these things. Well, the Federal Reserve they're okay with it. The federal government's okay with it. I don't really think they have a big issue with big banks. They kind of say they do, but then if you look at their, you know, who puts them in office by giving them donations, you know, that's where their votes are going to say. You know, part of the, what was it, Citizens United, when the Supreme Court looked at that, they said, well, we don't deem that, you know, contributions or donations to somebody actually would sway their vote. What? What do you think bribery is? It's basically legalized bribery. And guys, I'm not a fear monger. I'm not here to push any buttons. I'm here to, like I said in yesterday's video, I'm here to give you the truth if you like it or not. So please don't say, you know, that, you know, one plus one is not two. And I don't like you anymore and whatever. Guys, I'm going to give you the facts. So sometimes it might be hard facts, but they're going to be facts. And I want you to do your due diligence, fact check me. And if you find me wrong, I have no problem you calling me out and posting down below. All right, so we're going to go through here. Biggest banks. Here's the headline. Biggest banks infuse First Republic with $30 billion. Now, it's probably going to be some time until we really find out the details of this, but they're probably just buying up the bank, getting their shares. They're going to have hefty returns, because that's the only way a bank would infuse this company, to take a position there. And then when they do start doing a little bit better, then they will reap those benefits. And we go down through here. I'm in the mortgage business. And so we're starting to see mortgage rates slide. This is saying mortgage rates slide following bank turmoils. They've already slid. If you watch my channel on a daily basis, we basically hit I made a lock recommendation yesterday afternoon. I put off that lock recommendation and said, go ahead. And, you know, if you didn't lock yet, you know, you should have, because you missed that bottom right there and then. Goldman Sachs boosts U.S. recession odds after slashing GDP. So with all this turmoil going on, there's an expectation of a recession, and 80% of CEOs are saying we're in a recession, and now we have Goldman Sachs saying that we're going to be in a recession. Okay, so let's keep going down through here. Homebuilders industry sitting with bated breath amongst regional bank turmoil. So that's that part of it. It's homebuilders, believe it or not, homebuilders right now have their confidence level is up. And I think what's happening is a lot of people are actually getting comfortable with, you know, the rates kind of where they are. If mortgage rates could stay steady for some time, just think if mortgage rates stayed steady for a year or two, you'd get used to it. And then you start looking and saying, oh, okay, I get it at this point. But, you know, we had artificially low rates for so long that many of you guys out there watching probably don't even remember, you know, when mortgage rates were 6 or 7%, you know, maybe 15, 16, 17 years ago. You weren't either in the market or you weren't old enough to look at a lot of these things. Let's go through the next thing. That's a lie. Yellen presses on Social Security. So I'm not even going to get into that part of it. Silicon Valley won't pay. Biden claims the Silicon Valley Bank bailout won't cost taxpayers, contradicts fiscal reality and economists. I'm not going to get into politics, guys, because it only gets me into trouble. I'll just give you the facts that I have. So let's go through the rest of the stuff. We got the economic calendar. Here's what happened today. So it's old news now, but I want you to get informed on what's going on in the markets and what's causing all this stuff to happen. So in today's market, we had the first thing out on Thursday was building permits. And like I said, builder's confidence is up right now. So the previous reading, there was 1.339 million building permits out there. The expectations from economists was 1.34. And we actually came in at 1.52, much higher than was anticipated. Again, I think people are getting more comfortable with the rates the way they are. And based on a lot of the information that we have, that there's a recession here on the horizon, especially with the bank turmoil, with the conflict still in Ukraine and all that other stuff. Almost everybody's predicting right now that the Federal Reserve is going to pivot right about mid-year. So if you're building a house, you can see maybe by the end of, you know, Q3 or Q4 of this year, you might see mortgage rates maybe a half or more down from now. And the reason being is the last, and I know I repeated this all the time, but I want you guys again to get it. The last five recessions we've had, the average reduction in mortgage rates was 1.8%. Okay. So we're going to go over mortgage rates here in a minute. Jobless claims, that's the area that the Federal Reserve is really excited about because they want more people unemployed. Thus, it'll help the spending. Thus, it'll help so many people buying or trying to buy so many goods and services with inflated money and pushing up prices. And I'm going to recap this screen for you just to conclude the week to let's try to find patterns to say, okay, if these numbers come in good, then this is what's probably going to happen in the market. This numbers come in bad, and then help you guys decipher for where to go from there. So the federal government or the Fed really wants more the unemployment rate to go up. So here's the initial jobless claims. This is people that filed claims for the first time. The previous reading was 212,000 jobs or people applied for their first time home or jobless benefits. The expectations from economists was 205,000. It came in at 192. So not really far off. I mean, if this number came in at 100 or 300, yeah, it would move the markets. Maybe it wouldn't have moved the market, especially the way the banking sector is going right now. Philly Fed Manufacturing Index, it's basically kind of came in right where it was last time. What this does, let's just show those numbers. It is the Philly Fed Reserve Manufacturing Index measures the relative level of business conditions amongst manufacturings in the Federal Reserve's district. A level above zero on the index indicates improving conditions. Below indicators worsen conditions. So we went from a negative 24, which is really bad. They were expecting a forecast of negative 15, which was coming up a little bit, but we ended up negative 23. So not real, real good news there. If you look at the week in a capsule, you know, in the Federal Reserve, what they're trying to do is really put a stamp or really put a botch on inflation. Let's go through these numbers real quick because it's kind of an exciting number. If we didn't have these bank failures, this would have really moved the markets. Okay. So here's the inflation piece that we monitor. So the easiest way to do this is let's look at where inflation starts and then where it ends. Okay. It ends with us, the consumer, how much we are paying. Okay. Well, it starts on the manufacturing level? Well, it really starts with raw materials and commodities and all that stuff. Well, you can see that oil is getting crushed right now. Let's go to market movements. Oil right here. It's actually in a bear market. It's at $68 a share. You're going to see it's up 1%, but it's been on a complete free-for-all. Okay, so let's get back to the calendar. So we have a lot of commodity prices. You can look at lumber. Lumber's way down. Oil's way down. Cement's, I think cement's holding its value, but a lot of these commodity prices are way, way down. So now that's telling us, okay, these prices are down. So is the commodities moving over to the production piece of the puzzle? How much inflation is at the production level? Okay, so that's the PPI that you're seeing on your screen. So the PPI reading, the previous reading was an 0.3 that you can see right through here. The expectations were to stay steady at 0.3. What actually went down to negative 0.1. Okay, so that means the inflation level at the producer side is starting to come down a little bit. Now, this isn't a great number, but it sure beats, you know, an inflation number of 8, 9, 10, 12%. So now on the producer side, it's really starting to flatten out. Well, let's go up to the consumer level, which is the CPI, consumers inflation. Okay, what we want to look at is, you can core CPI. What that means is they took the basket of goods and did stamp that for its value, and then they kind of track that month over month. Somebody asked yesterday, so what exactly are they doing? Are they, you know, is it, you know, they're buying certain amount of apples or whatever? They're just saying, okay, an apple costs this. Okay, it's per piece. It's not if you buy a whole basket of those. So they might take an apple, you know, what house prices are, what a gallon of gas is, what oil is, how much bread is, how much eggs are, how much this is and that is. So they gather that basket, stamp it with a price, and then monitor how that price is getting affected throughout the year. So what core inflation does, or the core CPI, pulls out food and energy. Okay, so that number came in, the core CPI number came in, it was plus 4 previously, came in at plus 5. So you're going to say, oh man, inflation just went up. But, you know, you have to look at everything involved, because you do pay for gas, you do pay for some other things that are pulled out of the core. So CPI in general, month over month, it previous reading was 0.5, expectations were 0.4, it came in at 0.4. Now here's the year over year number combined. We were at 6.4. Remember, just a few months ago, we were at 9. Okay. The expectations from the economists were to come in at 6. We came in at 6. So we were actually down almost 0.5% on our core inflation, where we started just a few months ago at 9. So the trajectory of this is all but nothing but good news. If you guys, let me ask any questions that you guys have here. So let me go to the top. And Orlando, I think that was you, Ozzy. You're welcome. So these are things where, you know, maybe I'll start a posting board where you guys can ask me questions. Then when I come on live, you can start shooting them out to me. But yeah, please join me every day. I'm going to try to do this every day that I can. I'll post on YouTube. So if you see me on YouTube saying I'm going to be there today, I expect to be there. Kyle and I were trying to do a live event on yesterday, Wednesday night, which we do every Wednesday. And we just got tied up. We were working on my office, technology, a whole bunch of other things. And it was my fault. I didn't realize. I looked down at my watch and we were about an hour away and from the office, and I'm like, dude, it's 6:15 and our video starts in 45 minutes. There's no way we're gonna make it. So it is my fault that we didn't do yesterday's live event. So let's get over to more questions that you have. Next one is Solrax. Ha ha ha, cycle is starting now. Explain cycle. I'm sure you're here because there's not a lot of people online right now. So if you can let me know, Fidelity started trading for Bitcoin and Ethereum. Fidelity started trying. Oh, cool. Cool, cool, cool. So you're in the cryptocurrency space, I see. Hit the like, y'all. Slap it. Thank you. I get helps. So you guys, you know, putting posting here, giving me a thumbs up, things like that, that helps my channel grow. And I'm asking you guys for help, because hopefully as you watch me, and I know I ramble sometimes, and sometimes, you know, the people in the background or whatever have to tell me, yeah, stop, you're rambling. I want you guys to get it and understand that I have no agenda here. I don't, you know, I'm not going to rant and rave about the Republicans or the Democrats or Fox News or this. I'm just going to give you raw data as it is. And if you don't like it, sorry, but it is what it is. I'm not going to say, you know, it here's something, but then you can prove me wrong. So fact check me if you want. Please post down below and I'll read your comments and reply. So let's go back to anybody. So thank you so much for Solrax. I hope everybody gives us a thumbs up and gives us a some kudos there. Share the videos too. We're trying to grow the channel because a lot of people kind of blackballed me on YouTube because I wasn't on the agenda of the world's crashing and all this, because I just keep posting, you know, information that's true. And I've lost a lot of viewers because they're like, Dan, you don't have a clue what you're doing. But guys, follow with me and I hope you learn a lot of stuff and you find value in the channel. So let's keep going. Let's go through market reports. Well, let's go back to Yahoo Finance and just go through some more headlines. And if you guys don't have any questions, I'll just conclude with some mortgage rates and things like that. So Kathy Woods, if you guys don't know Kathy Woods, I'll bring up to speed with some of these. She's like the hedge fund darling. She was way into cryptocurrency. So Solrax, you got to know her. She's been getting, well, last year she did, I think she did pretty bad last year. She is in basically startups and cryptocurrencies and all kind of other things. When she's making money, she's making bazillions. And when she's losing money like a sieve also. Stock market, sure. You got to watch when you're going through a lot of these channels. I'll give you some pointers here. Make sure it says like business and things like that, because you can see this is business, Investors Business Daily, business, quartz, and it'll tell you where it's coming from. But then you start seeing these things, and I'm not trying to teach you the internet, but don't click the ads. It's an ad, okay? It's an ad. So just click through it, because most of the time, you know, it'll give you basically false information here. You click it, and then you're like, oh, man, I didn't want to get into that. So that's the headlines on Yahoo Finance. Let's go to MarketWatch. The Dow Jones is closed now. It ended up 371. S&P up 68, NASDAQ 283, movers over here, nothing there. Here's the thing about oil. Now look at this. I just Googled oil. I want to find who were the Q, and I just want to show you guys, I guess is the way that I want to say this. I want to see how much money did the oils company make last year when they were just gouging us. Remember at Christmas time, I drove back to West Virginia to visit my parents. Gas was on the turnpike, I think almost $6 a gallon. Okay, it's still about $4 a gallon here in Illinois, but look at this. BP posts record profits 2022 earnings to join big oil profits bonanza. Let's see if they give us this. And I'm just winging this. BP posted underlying replacement cost used a proxy of a net profit of $27.7 billion in 2022. Compare this with $12.8 billion. The previous year. I got to come up on the screen on this one. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? They're having record profits while they're telling us, oh man, there's you know, supply chain issues and we can't do this and we can't do that. You doubled your profits while you're crying that you can't help us at the pump. So these are the areas, if the government wants to get involved in anything, and I'm not a proponent of government getting involved. They got involved in the mortgage business when it was way too late, and now they put so much restrictions on it that's why I'm comfortable with the mortgage business and MBSs and all the stocks and the thing in the mortgage business, because the default level currently that should be on the new loans out today should be basically almost none unless you lose your job and things. I know people are going to, you know, contradict me, but it's nothing like 2008. But here's a perfect example of how companies are just gouging us. And there's a food company next to my office, and they're actually they're in productions and logistics and everything. And the guy's like, and I said, you know, how's chicken prices? What in the world's going on with eggs? And he said, dude, don't even fall for that stuff. It's all labor and unions. Now I'm not saying anything about unions or anything else. But we're getting gouged by a lot of people. And the problem that we're seeing in today's market, where you might see me and a lot of people saying there's wage stickiness in the inflation numbers, because we need more and more and more people actually getting into the workforce to drive down the prices. It's just like housing or anything else. The more you have, hold on, I just got Jim Cramer. I'll show Jim Cramer, the poster child of CNBC, just popped up, and I'm going to close that real quick. So that's my that's my rant of the day. But when I start seeing profits like this, it makes me sick, because you know they're crying that they're poor and they can't do anything and everything else, but they just doubled their profits over a year. Okay, So that's that part of it. All right. So let's see what else. We got some, let's go back. Anybody have any questions? Let's see. I think we got Aaron on here. Aaron, I'm a mortgage advisor and follow your channel. Learn a lot that I can share with my clients. Appreciate your help. Thanks, Aaron. That's why I do it. And it's like, you know, most people would say, well, Aaron's your competition. No, he's not my competition. I'm here to help everybody. So if you're a mortgage advisor out there, we're trying to put packages together to help you guys, because I know a lot of people in this industry. I've been doing it for 34 years. Okay. So I know tons of people in this industry. A lot of them are out of work. And a lot of people, you know, I hate to say it this way, they don't know a lot about the mortgage industry, even when they're in the industry. So I still learn something every day. I just met with a young man this morning. He's fantastic. He does VA loans. That's what he does. He's my, you know, I would say at this point, he's my competitor. But we met for coffee. We talked, and I picked his brain. He picked my brain. Very cordial. The guy's fantastic. And I don't mind helping. He gives me a lot of, he gave me some content saying, you know, in VA loans, you can do this, this. I'm like, you know, I had no idea you could do that. So it's a small world. I want you guys to be educated. And then hopefully somebody will say, you know what? I learned this from Dan Friel's channel. Check it out. And then you can learn some things there. Again, unbiased. And Aaron, I appreciate you telling me that. Let me get that out of the way, because I think that's blocking you. Where did it go? But I appreciate your comments. I truly do. And if there's other mortgage professionals in here, Kyle Seagraves, the Win the House You Love, he's a partner of mine in the business. And he's, you know, I won't say a complete partner, but he's a huge piece of our puzzle. Huge piece of our puzzle. And he does videos. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to create a platform like MBS Highway or MBS Live or Barry Habib's channel and things like that. But I stopped subscribing to those channels because it's just too expensive. You know, to spend, you know, I have a bunch of employees and I like to have everyone have something, but I can't spend $150 per employee just to have, you know, some charts and everything. So that's why I share my knowledge with you guys on a daily basis. So you guys don't have to do the digging. You guys don't have to do a lot of this research, but we're trying to put a program together similar to theirs and to, you know, put it out to you guys. I can give you my alerts. We'll do private events like this, but it'll be private events. We're going to have events for mortgage people, events for realtors, events for maybe attorneys, buyers in general. On Wednesday nights, Kyle and I do a live report, and we do that hopefully just to attract in new home buyers that have questions. So just like Aaron was just saying, he's watching my channel, he's in the business, and he's learning some things. So that's the whole goal of this channel, guys. So Aaron, thank you so much for joining me, man. Let's see. The next one is Solarax. Kathy Woods is heavily long Bitcoin. ARK is a good business. Yeah, it is. But again, when you look at the price of Bitcoin, and I'm not here to argue with you on Bitcoin. I get it. Some people are all in and whatever. I'm just saying it's still in a speculative stage. You know, no stock or no company, no asset went from, you know, a 65 piece to 20,000 in a matter of a year. But hopefully these start to stick at this levels, because I would love Bitcoin to have some security, some price levels where it's not all over the board, where more and more people can start implementing that into their portfolios, into their uses and everything else. So that's that part of it. Let's see the next one. Aaron, that's a fact, Dan. Oh, thank you. So hopefully Aaron can vouch for me. I'm only providing facts to you guys, and I'll read it right off the Yahoo things. So at the end of each day, you can watch me for maybe a half hour and get all the context you need without the biased piece of it, because I'll go through any website you want. I'll go to Market News Daily and just, we're going to go through headlines, but I want to put it in common terms for you guys, because I'm old enough at this point. I get a lot of the tricks that these guys are doing. So I want you to read, because a lot of times there's specific words in there you guys are missing. And I'm like, you know, a lot of people are saying, oh, home sales are plummeting. Look at this. I told you they're going to plummet. They're down 50%, but they make it sound like it's home prices. Okay, so there's a lot of things, like the same thing with the banking sector. Are all banks going to go out of business? No, no way in the world. The FDIC has, what did I say yesterday, $128 billion in reserves to fund these places. You know, some of these companies have $20 billion in assets and so forth. So they have a ton of money, and a lot of these other banks, they want to get bigger. The federal government doesn't want them, but now they're opening the door to say, well, you, Mr. Bank, if you want to, oh, here we go. This is live. Banks take advantage of Fed crisis lending program. So let's talk about this. So what's going on with that is basically what the Federal Reserve is going to do. I'll click it, but I'll put this in, basically summarize it for you. The Federal Reserve knows that they've created a problem. Okay. They know they created a problem. So what happens is you have all these banks that need to hold reserves. So they're holding treasuries because it has a solid, it's not going to go defunct. You aren't going to lose on treasuries because it's backed by the U.S. And that's why people say, well, it's backed by the people. Well, yeah, but there's money set aside for that. So, some people could say, yeah, the taxpayers are paying it. They're kind of not. But we'll get back to it. So what's happening is the Federal Reserve says, okay, if you have an asset and you need money to keep solvent, bring us your assets, bring them to us. Here, let me pop me back in front of the screen, and then we'll come back to that. Bring those assets to us. We're going to open a window. Like you go through the drive-thru. You go to the drive-thru at the bank and you have a window and you put your check in there and they send you the thing back, you sign in, and now it's deposited. So what they want the banks to do is go to them and say, okay, here's an asset. With their, just reading that headline again. What most likely is taking place is these banks that are holding these treasuries, these T-notes, they're sitting there and they're like, if I have to mark these to market, I'm going to take a bath. So how about if I take them to the Federal Reserve, give them as collateral, because they know they're backing themselves, and then they'll give them money to make them solvent. Brilliant idea, because really nobody's going to lose in that situation. The banks are becoming solvent. What kind of ticks me off in this is, if a bank did bad business, and some of these banks that are going under right now, here, let me retro back to what happens. So a bank goes out of business. So think of it as a house getting foreclosed on. So what happens is the FDIC comes in and whatever, but some other banks will start looking at the book saying, hey, I'll buy that. Okay, I'll buy that. Well, that's what we're going to probably uncover is what is in those, what's in the background or what's behind those closed doors that are keeping people from buying it. So if you see many, many big banks funding a bank, you probably know their books and their name is good. If you have like Silicon Valley Bank, I don't know if they found a buyer yet, but if one bank can find a buyer within 24 hours, and then you have another company sitting there looking and looking and looking for a buyer, there's probably a reason. Think of it as a house. There's that house you want. It's like, man, that's a nice looking house. And the price looks good. There's probably something. If the price is way good, way too good, half the price of what the other houses are in the market, but it's still not being bought, don't think you're a genius by buying it under price. There's probably something wrong. Okay. So that's what I think is happening with a lot of this stuff. Let's go down through any other questions that we have. Better professionals give us a better business so we can serve clients better. Exactly. So I'm not here. You probably have clientele base that I've never heard of, me will never call me in their wildest dreams. If I can help you close some extra deals by learning some tricks of the trade here, I'm going to do so. So you might be a perfect candidate when we start these programs. I'm going to teach you guys about non-QM, DSCRs, debt servicing coverage ratios, some things I know about FHA, VA, some little tricks on, this and that, how to get an approval sometimes when you can't otherwise get an approval. I'll show you a lot of the tricks of the trades that we know behind the scenes. So thanks. And this is coming from another person in the mortgage business. I don't know, doesn't related to me, and I never work with. So I don't have, I'm not making any money on the guy. So the guy's not going to post on here that, hey, great job, Dan, but whatever. And Kyle, driving me nuts, buddy. You're driving me nuts. So Kyle came in and my office drove him crazy. So yesterday we went out and bought some plants and this and that. We're going to paint. I'm going to put some other things on the wall. But we bought this lamp. It's behind me. I don't know. I was moving things around. I kept bumping into it. So he will be here in just a little bit and he'll probably yell at me and plug it in and we'll put it together. So thanks, Kyle. But Kyle, if you would check out his channel, Win the House You Love, this kid is amazing. He's a techie. He's a mortgage guy. I go to him. He's the age of my children, but I even go to him for consultation. He's a good person to bounce some ideas off. And he knows, if there's something here, there's a calculator or something that we need. He's like, oh, give me a day. I'll put it together. And he'll put it together and we'll have, charts and all kinds of things. We're going to share those with you. Just give us maybe 60, 90 days. We hope to launch our system at that point. I think you guys will be pleasantly surprised. Let's go to the next thing is, have you done LLPs yet, Dan? We got word they are being put. They are. I posted a short last night. Oh, it's you, Aaron, again. Yeah. Those got postponed till August. I think it was August 1st. So what happened was, great point, Aaron, is what an LLPA is basically this. And this is now mortgage talk. So sorry, folks, if you're on here for mortgages, cool. If you're not, ask a question in regards to market or cryptocurrencies, or I can even go back to Yahoo Finance. But what happens is, here's how your mortgage rate gets created. Okay. So you come to us and we look at yours, and based on your credit score, your loan to value, your loan to value is basically how much you're getting lent to you, and a whole bunch of other criterias. We plug it in our system and it gives us what the rate is. Okay. What created that rate? Okay. So it's pretty simple, to be honest with you. It's whatever the rate is that's published by, you know, the FHFA. And then FHFA, they basically they control all of the rates in the whole country. Just think of it that way. So they come out and they say, okay, well, if you have a low credit score, you're going to have a higher rate. Okay. Because there's a big risk factor there. You know, most people, if they have an 800 credit score, they've never missed a payment in their life. If you have a 500 credit score, you probably miss several payments in your life. So they come back and say, okay, if you have that high credit score, you're going to get a better rate. If you put more money down on a house, you're going to get a better rate. So those are called LLPAs. Those are adjustments to the rate based on the risk factor. So we take the rate, let's say the rate is 5%. And then the LLPA, based on your adjustments, increase yours because you have a low credit score. So your rate's going up. You have minimum down payment. Your rate's going up a little more. And you're buying a condo, which gets hit even a little bit more. So now your rate is up here. So now what they're doing is they're saying, well, we're going to add some more to it. So if you have a higher debt ratio, meaning you have your budget, and I'll explain that in a second. If you have a higher debt ratio, now you're going to have a higher rate for that. Well, they're getting huge backlash throughout the economy, throughout everybody, even us. We're like, this is ridiculous. Okay, what your debt ratio is basically your debts that are on your credit report plus your proposed mortgage payment divided by your gross monthly income. Okay, so let's say, for example, you have an American Express card and you pay it off every month. But at the time we pull your credit, it shows you a $4,000. Okay, so we're going to equate that out to a $400 a month payment. All right. That's just how it works, unless there's a payment represented on there or whatever. But in most cases, it's going to be 1% of that balance. So now your debt ratio went from 40 to 43. Okay. Because of that extra $400 a month payment. So because of that, your rate's going to go up. Well, then I can go back to you and say, well, pay it off and your rate's going to go down. So we're not going to be able to quote a rate to anybody until we really know the entire story. And it could be the rate is here today. Oh, you paid off that bill. Well, the rate's now here because you paid off the bill. So we're going to coach our borrowers once this goes into effect. Aaron, I would suggest you do this. Just go down through your thing. And if you have a borrower with, you know, 3 or 4 minimal credit cards that you really wouldn't give a shit about anyways, sorry about my French, you're going to just click that and say, Mr. and Mrs. Consumer or Buyer, pay those off before you close because I can get you a better rate. And then you can go back and charge whatever you want. But just, you know, you're going to spend $1,000 by paying off all those bills and it'll get you a much better rate. That's absurd because basically the rate on you could change every day based on, you know, what creditor posted on your credit report. So sorry, that gets me a little teed off. And that's why they postponed it, because they're getting a lot of backlash from that. But great question, Aaron. So Rex, what you got, buddy? I'm thinking it's going to be a long time. Many of these cryptos have price discovery, going to be years. I think people discovered the price. I think, are you talking about price stability? Because I think everybody knows what Bitcoin is in some of these companies, but I don't think really they know truly what it is. And I did a ton of research, but unfortunately, by the time I did all my research, it went from, like, you know, 20,000, or I think I started getting in about 12,000 a share, and it went to 20, 30, 40. And I kept adding to my position because I'm like, this is phenomenal. And then I just, you know, then I bailed out and whatever else. So let's see. Oh, good. Yes. Okay. Kyle just put in their LLPAs are still going into effect. The debt ratio piece is not going to affect. I'll have to research on there. Kyle, let us know. Are all the LLPAs going, the new ones going into effect, or is it just, are they postponing just the debt ratio piece? Doesn't respond, tomorrow when I post, I'll let you guys know. Relax. Relax. I wish I could relax. I love your channel name, man. So if you guys don't have any other questions, it wasn't a bad day. You know, if it wasn't right now for the turmoil with the banking system, we're starting to see the inflation numbers coming down. No, you know, you're going to have a lot of people saying, well, you know, it's still 6. Well, it beats 9. Okay. So you're not going to go from 9 to 2 overnight. So that's something you got to watch. You got to look at, you know, it's like planting a seed of something. You know, you're not going to walk in the next day and be able to, you know, pick tomatoes, because you're going to have to give it time. Aaron, Kyle did look it up. It's only the DTI piece that is delayed. Okay, so everything else is going into effect. If you're probably a broker, or I don't know if you're a lender or whatever, Aaron, it's probably priced in there. You might not even really notice it unless you really look at your rate sheets. You probably use Optimal Blue or Sifter or something like that in your system to figure out your rates. So you'll see it in those, but most people aren't even going to see those. We just like to give transparency because these are things coming up that are going to affect a lot of people. So let's see. Let's go without further ado. Let's conclude and let's see where mortgage rates ended for the day. So let's bring that up and we go through here. So the MBS market ended. Let me refresh this to make sure we have the most current read on this. MBS prices are, let's go MBSs, MBS prices down 31 for the day. So what you're seeing is basically what that is the price, what you're seeing on your screen right now is the price of a mortgage-backed security bond. If you watch my channel every day, you guys get what I'm talking about. But for those newbies out there that don't follow me, the mortgage-backed security is the bond that trades on Wall Street. It's the instrument. So a lot of people say, well, how do I monitor what mortgage rates are going to do? Somebody told me the 10-year treasury. Well, no. That's not the way. You can kind of watch what's going on with that, but it's not really the way to monitor this stuff. The way to monitor this is figure out what the mortgage-backed security bond is doing. So this bond is what you're seeing on your screen. So the yield on this thing gets moved over, like we were saying, how mortgage rates get created. There's your rate. Then what you add is you add those LLPAs on top of it, and then the bank or the lender, whomever, then puts their profit margins on top. So that's where when people are looking around, they're saying, well, why is rates different? Because, like, for example, we have a much less profit margin than a lot of people, a ton of people, because we cut our costs everywhere we can. We don't have plush offices. We're not driving Mercedes. We don't have a staff of 50,000 people, and we're not buying stadiums to push all our money into. So we can afford to have less yields and help more and more people. Okay. So that's basically how a lot of that stuff works. So let's go back through any more questions and then we will conclude. But guys, if you would let me know, Aaron, thanks for telling me who you are and what you do. We're not going to blackball you. Join us every day, man. We'd love to ask questions. And my email is dan@theRateUpdate.com. If you'd ever like to touch base, just shoot me an email. Relax. Thanks, man. If you were with me for a day, you'd be like, man, this guy's, he's all over the map. So this is how I am all day, all night, and I have a tough time sleeping. So I'm pretty revved up all day and all night. The next thing we're going to go to is 5% down is higher price versus 10% down now. It is, well, it depends on probably the lender you have. I don't know if that's across the board. I haven't really priced a lot of things today and compared 10 versus 5. I'll take your word for it, but it shouldn't really be those cases. Here's a trick of the trade for you guys out there that are in the mortgage business. Look at a rate. If somebody's looking for something, put down 19%. If they're instead of 20% down, look at that rate versus the 20% down. You're going to have mortgage insurance on there. Yep. For a couple of years, it's probably still going to be better priced. For you guys out there, priced means, how we make money and just how much yield is there and how much compensation and so forth. But you'd be surprised with how those numbers work out. But I'll have to check on that. Kyle might be able to do that. Kyle, can you run? I don't know if you're still here. Can you run a scenario if 5% down has a higher rate than 10% down? If you are, great. If he's not here anymore, I'll post something tomorrow. I'll look that up. And if you can join us tomorrow or shoot me an email, join us tomorrow. I'd love it. Or in the morning, comment on something. But if you can't, you can't. So the next thing is, but thanks. Thank you so much for the question. Yep. Just the DTI. Thanks. Yep. Cool. I'm not filtering these guys. So please don't put anything in here derogatory. When do you think prices will go up by around one? Huh? When do you think prices will go up by one? I don't know, price on homes, interest rates, prices. I try to stay out of pricing, loans and things. Here, let me get out of the screen. I can probably answer these better here. I'm getting out of the price prediction because even a lot of the people that you might even watch, even mainstream media, look at them. They've been pumping that the market's going to be clobbered, completely clobbered since, the pandemic. And then in 2020, oh man, if rates hit 4, it's all bets off. The world's going to end. Then in 2021, it's going to drop 50%. 2022, we're on stage 18 of this correction. Home prices just kept going up and up and up and up all the way through June of last year. And then it started to peter out a little bit. But not all markets are the same. So if you're in San Diego, are you going to get affected more than somebody in, Columbus, Ohio? Yeah, probably. You know, they're small towns. They're probably going to hold their values very well. You got Austin, New York, San Diego, Chicago. They're probably not going to hold their values as well, especially those that's seen, you know, 30, 40, 50% increases over a 2 or 3 year period. It can't be sustained. Okay, that's just the fact. Just think of any other asset class did that. But let me project this. This just popped in my mind. Here's what people, you know, a lot of people are you know, if I buy a house right now, it might go down in value, or might this, might that, might that. What's another asset that you have that you can really live in, use extensively, that goes up in value? Your car. You pull out of the car dealership and you spend $70,000, $80,000 for a car and it's worth $50,000 the next day. You pay on it for 5, 6, 7 years. I keep my cars till they don't run anymore. You know, 10 years later, your car's worth nothing. Okay, nothing. So what other asset class can you get into, lock in a payment, get some appreciation over time? It shouldn't be, maybe it should be 4 or 5%. That's what it should be. Okay. But you get the comfort of living there, getting some tax benefits for it and all that stuff. So that's some things to look into. But if it's not for you to buy a house, don't buy. Okay. Don't buy. It's fine. Okay. So let's keep going through here. We got some people posting all kind of 327 for FHA, lower MIP, correct with the case numbers. 321. It's already. Well, 321, all the lenders that you're working with should already have implemented this. I think even if you close on 321 or 320, I think it's 320 or 321, because we have several closings on the 23rd that I know are taking advantage of this. So I know it's not the 27th. I think we have about 8 closings next Monday or something like that. And is that the day? I know the day after that it was supposed to kick into effect, we have about $5 or $6 million worth of closings that day. So I know it took effect that day. So yeah, it's in effect with most lenders. Aaron, I don't know what you did. I don't know what that, I can't see it. Oh, you gave me a thumbs up. Thanks, man. I don't know if you saw what Kyle did. Cha, cha, cha. Yep. Already in effect. Okay, cool. Let's see here. What do we got? Thoughts on probability Fed think you see inflation changing from two to, we may see inflation change from 2 to 3.5. Oh, they're projections. So I did a chart yesterday. If you would check out yesterday's chart when I did, I think I did it live yesterday. I went through the Chicago Mercantile Exchange futures on the federal funds rate. And they expect this rate round of Fed news that they're going to raise. You know, it was all the way up to about 0.5%. I think that's completely off the table. I think they're going to have to do a quarter just to keep face. They should do nothing. They should truly do nothing. But I think they're going to do a quarter point. And then from there, they had prices maybe going another round of a quarter. And then from there, everything pivots. And all the futures markets, I mean, everything, have like 77% probability that by Q3, Q4, the rates are going to start coming down. They're going to pivot. That's my expectations also, and that's been my expectations for the past 6 or 8 months, because this is way too much too fast, and I don't think they really saw the repercussions of this. That's why they're opening their window, because they're like, we botched this one, and we did it again. So they're trying to kind of save face, and so they're opening up the window to provide some relief to banks out there. But, you know, great question. I least do. Cool. Dan, let's see. Can't see these on some screen, so I got to click them. Do you watch YouTube with a company that is 3D printing an entire? I did. It blew my mind. So one of the young ladies who actually did a big video about this is actually joining our team. Nicole Nark will be a part of our team as of next week. We're waiting for last one document to come through, and then she will be joining our team. She just did a video of that, so she'll be joining us on a lot of our live events as well. She's a great YouTuber, a fantastic realtor down in Arkansas, and she recently did a video where they 3D printed a house, and it is nuts, man. So you got to check that out. You got me unprepared on this one, but check her out, Nicole Nark on YouTube. Check it out. It will blow your mind. It's so cool and what the way they do. My oldest son has a little 3D printer. It's the coolest thing, because you can make like just little things. You know, not this, this is a plug, but you can make darn near anything you want. He's a programmer, so that's what he does. My other son works here with us, and his name is Pat Frio. So if you ever call in and Patrick answers the phone, say hi. He's my son. Next piece. Hey, Dan. Hey, Rodney. Hello, Rodney. Let's see what else. Oh, yeah, the England. England did 0.5 today. Yeah, you're right. The European central banks increased their rates 50 basis points. Now, you think the U.S. has inflation. The rest of the world has hyperinflation, most of them, much worse than ours. So we're in pretty, I won't say we're in a great situation, but we're not in a bad situation. There's a lot of countries. And again, we have the dollar that's basically a secured value. The dollar is holding its value. It's one of the top currencies in the whole world right now because everybody uses it. It's basically the worldwide currency. And so that's why a lot of people flee to the U.S. They want to buy dollars. They want to buy our treasuries. They want to buy bonds and so forth, because we do have believe it or not, a solid financial system in this country, a lot better than most places. The next piece is, should I pay collections that are non-medical before I apply for an FHA loan? They're over 3 years old. Absolutely not. One of my biggest videos that I ever did, let's see if it's on here. No, it's not on here. I did a video, and one of my first videos I did, and it got to like 250,000 views, and then it kind of stopped. But it basically hits this. So I have a channel for you. Here, let me put it up here on the screen. I think I can put that up here. If you guys want, check out my website. And I actually created this website several years ago. There's a lot of cool information in here. Let me see if I can pull it up, but I'm going to answer your question. Let me pull this up first. So credit scores and more. I answer this question and a bunch more things. And here's a system that we have. So here's my credit. I'm going to have to move your question out of the way. Let's hide that. And then we're going to move this up on the screen. So here's a system that I created. It's called creditscoresandmore.com. You can scroll down here. Here's one of the coolest things. And I use this personally because in a lot of scenarios, like we had a scenario today. The young lady is trying to buy a house. Her credit score is 619. Okay, to qualify to buy a house and with a conventional loan, you need a 620 credit score. So she's 1 point off, 1 point. So it's like, well, how can we get this? So with our credit system, it's called a what if simulator. Basically, if it's like, well, what if we did this? Could we pick up that 1 point? Well, I have even a better solution for you. Instead of applying through us and we pulling your credit and doing this and working with that, it's really expensive, really expensive. Use this system. I think it's $20 a month. You can even cancel after a month or two if you want. I've had this system for a long time, and it's right here. It is Smart Credit. You can get a discount right here. You click here, and it'll open up that. This has a what-if simulator in it. So it says, okay, I got this amount is my credit score, but I need, you know, 3 more points. What can I do? Is it possible to get that? Watch this video right before you do it, because it kind of gives you a walkthrough of what to do. So why I brought up this is the question was, do I pay off? Let me go back to that question. Do I pay off more all my collections before? Hold on. Bear with me, guys. Right here. No. Absolutely no. And I don't care if you talk to a credit advisor, do not pay off your collections until you do this. I would love for you to go in and, you know, try out that system and email me back on how much you liked it, because there's multiple pieces of this. So what you're going to do is you're going to go in there and say, you know, well, let me answer your case specifically. Don't pay them off. What I'd like you to do is, if you want to use this system, pull your credit through the system. It doesn't affect your credit scores at all. Not a point. Okay. So it's a soft credit pull because you're pulling it on yourself. So what you're going to do is you're going to go down through and it's going to show you your credit report. It'll actually show it to you right on there, and you can pull it all the time, readjust figures and so forth. I want you to look at those collections. I want you to look and see the last date reported. So you might say, well, it's 3 years old. Guys, you can't even see me on the screen. Let me pull myself up. Okay. So what's going to happen is I want you to pay attention of the date of last activity. Okay, here's why. So what will happen is you're going to show a collection. Let's say it's with the Discover bill. You have a $3,000 collection with Discover because you didn't pay it or something happened. All right, so it shows up on your credit report. The longer the duration of time that goes, the least effect it has on your credit. So after 3 years, you're probably not even really getting a hit to your credit scores because of that. However, if you pay it off, you might get hammered, meaning your credit scores might plummet, because here's what happens. When the analytics or algorithms are reading your report, it's pulling up that collection and saying, dang, there's a collection. Okay. Then it reads the last time that collection was active, the late date last active. That's all it's reading. So it's reading that it's coded a 9 for a collection, and then it gives the date on when it was last active. If it was last active and it keeps moving with you, like if you go in there and it says last active February of 2023, you're probably going to have to pay it. With this system, you can negotiate for deletion. You can negotiate for all kinds of things. Hey, I'll pay you half. I'll pay. You can do it right automated in the system, because if these creditors don't reply to you in 30 days, they have to remove it. Okay. But what will happen is if it's reading it and it says date last active, January of 2019, don't do anything. Okay. But when you go to apply for your FHA loan, if your total collections cumulatively, if they all add up to $2,000 or more, they have to all be paid. Okay. So I don't want you paying them now. I don't want you paying them any other time. We're going to pay those at closing, so it won't affect your credit scores at all. We're just going to add those. So you're going to pay it now. So instead of paying it now, put that money aside. And we're going to, if we need it, we're going to use that money. We'll just add those to be paid off at the closing. I don't want to pay them off prior to, because it will affect your credit scores. So please check it out. You know, if you want to use that system or look at the date of last activity, and then reach out to us, do a consultation, whatever you want. Kyle does have on his channel, this is probably the best way to reach out to us to schedule an appointment. There is a calendar link down below. But if you're exclusively, you want a mortgage consultation for you personally, I would highly suggest you go to Kyle, Win the House You Love. This is Kyle. You probably notice him from YouTube. He's not as handsome as me. I know. It's okay. We're working on it. But all you have to do is click right here, schedule a call. The Calendly comes up. I call it Calendly because that's truly what this is. And you can pick a day and time to do a consultation with us. Guys, this is not hard pressure sales. When you call, our goal is to answer your questions. And maybe help you if you deem that we're the company for you, because we educated you guys, we're at your beck and call. We'll help you with pre-approvals. We would love to do your mortgage for you, because that's what we do. Okay, so let's go see if there's, and so I know I answered your question in a long way, but hopefully you find a lot of education pieces in that. So let's see if there's any more through here. Dan, do you think the real estate in the Arlington Heights will go up in value if and when the Chicago Bears? I do. And this is one area. That's a great, Johnny, you must be local. So the Chicago Bears bought a huge property, Arlington Racetrack, up in Arlington Heights. And it's actually, I know a pastor that lives right there, and I need to call him to see what's going on with those values. I think they will. Here's what I would do. If I owned a house up there, I would probably damn near Airbnb it over the football season, because you could probably get substantially a lot amount of money just for renting out your house over the weekend. I don't know if I'd be a proponent of that, but if you have a rental property up there, you're going to probably see those values do pretty well. But the tough thing in Illinois, we have really high taxes, but for example, I got to stay in Illinois for licensing purposes. It is what it is. But yeah, I do think the Arlington Heights area will do pretty well. The Bears stink, but they do. That's a fact. Fact check me. They had the worst record in the NFL. So go ahead and fact check me. The next thing is, please do not pay off collections. That is from Kyle. Thank you, Kyle. Only touch collections with guidance of a credit coach. Perfect. What's the next one? Aaron approves loans. Wow. Cool. I don't know what that was for, Aaron, but I'll take it. Rodney, it was 2019. I don't know what you were talking about. Let me go back through here. Rodney. Yes. Don't pay him. Dude, don't pay him. Please don't pay him. Okay. Please don't pay him. That's all I can say. Next question. I have a new construction loan closing in May. Should I wait till end of March for more? No. We can monitor. Let's say, for example, last week rates were 7. I think today we were quoting out some rates at 6.25, 6.5. Let us help you. Let us walk you through this. We're going to say, I would have locked yesterday. We locked. If you weren't locked in, you probably got locked in yesterday. A lot of people were just, they're holding back saying, okay, guys, I don't know what to do. I'm getting other quotes or whatever. Now, you're missing the boat. Okay. And I'm going to show you in a video. We were going to try to do this yesterday. We were going to try to show you and guys in the video how we check your rates. We are a federally chartered bank. We were one of the country's largest brokerages. So we can scan the whole country with all the banks that we're set up with. We can provide their programs to you guys and their interest rates to you guys. So we can do all your shopping right here. So you can have a consultation with us. We can take your application, get you pre-approved, shop your loan to over, I think there's over 90 different companies we're set up right with now. We can help you with a realtor if you need that. We can help you with credit coaches if you need it. We should be your one-stop shop, and quit shopping because you're you the more and more people shop, the more confused you get. So our goal isn't to confuse you. Our goal is to teach you and educate you guys, like on channels like this and the other videos we do. So when you get into this, you're comfortable. But I would go now because, for example, let's say, for example, we pull your credit. There's something on there you didn't know about. And you might miss out on, you know, you might be one, or like the young lady this morning, you may be 1 point away from getting into a different program with a different rate. So in that, in her case, for example, she has a 619 credit score. So who's on here with me? That's Aaron. You understand this. We can't get a conventional approval. Okay. For 1 point. So we're going to put her through the smart credit system, have her do the what if simulator. And she had ample funds. So I want her to go in there and say, okay, here's all my bills. If I want to allocate $2,000 to my creditors, what will that do to my credit score? And you can manipulate saying, okay, if I did this, I did that. And you can see exactly right on the screen what it's going to do to your scores. But in your case, I would start now. Let us get you pre-approved. Let us put everything in place and we can monitor your rate. The nice thing about us, we're set up with all these companies. Let's say, for example, we lock in today and mortgage rates plummet. They just plummet. I'm not saying by an eighth or $300. I'm saying they go from 7 to 6.5. We can go back to the bank that we've locked you in and we can say, okay, we need to renegotiate because the rates have plummeted. You know, we have other options and so forth. So, you know, what do you want us to do? And they might come back and say, okay, we'll give it to you. Or if they come back and say, no, pound salt, then I have all your information. I'm just going to pick it up, run the country's lowest rates again. Who's got the lowest rates? We're going to move you over to that bank, set you in place, and get you going again. So we can do all of this for you. And again, we have other systems coming online soon that's going to help you find houses and much, much, much more. Okay, so let's keep going down through here. You guys are asking questions, which is fantastic. This is going to be the last one, then I got to go. I am currently doing credit repair. Should I stop it? No. Credit scores.more.com that I said. Where'd it go? Right here. Go down through here, and honestly, and if this doesn't work, then don't subscribe to it. And it's fractions of what you're paying for the your credit counselor stuff. Go to here, just click here. It's what's going to launch up. It's going to launch right there. Smart credit. You're going to go down through here. We know the owners of this company. You can track your credit. Score Builder, Score Boost. It does budgeting. It does manage your money. It privacy fraud. It gives you alerts. It does everything that you possibly need to do at a fraction of the cost. So Kyle and I call this like your DIY, we're not supposed to say it this way, credit advisor, I'll put it that way, or your credit analysis. They don't like to be called credit repair because they're not really credit repair. They're helping you find this data so then you can do everything yourself. So that is it. So that's it for today, guys. I hope you find value in my channel. If you would, let us help spread the word because we're trying to educate people when it comes to their financing. Yes, we have a concentration on real estate because that's what I do for a living, but I just want to give you guys the knowledge because the schools are failing us when it comes to economic and financial education, and hopefully I can fill in just a small little gap when it comes to that. So thank you so much for watching, guys. God bless. I don't mean guys, everybody. Thank you so much. If you would, please give us a thumbs up. Help the channel grow. You know, click down below, click the bell every time we post a video or have a video coming out. You get an alert, and I hope you join us on other live events. Take care, guys. I'll see you later. Bye-bye.